one in the lake.
Time to quit.
Tenth, 2007.
Probably the only one that works in the district is wrong.
Welcome to our board meeting. We're glad to have you here and come out in the cold weather. We have all five of the board members and Superintendent Pritchard and Jared Black, our business administrator, and we are in Darren Elementary. We appreciate being here. We will go ahead and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're doing things a little different, and we appreciate Jared for getting us organized. We're going to have the board action items first. We'll begin with the appointment of the new business administrator.
Well, I would make a motion that we appoint Jared Black as our new business administrator.
Second that. Should include it for a term of 2 years.
Okay.
For a term of 2 years, okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, we're just glad you're around after your orientation. You want to stay with us, so we're very happy for you to be here.
How much dinner are we going to have?
You're on your own.
Doing a good job. Good job.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. And then we have swearing in of newly re-elected board members. That would bring Murray Johnson and Roy Pat.
Okay, Marie, would you like to go first?
You don't do it at the same time?
Got to say your own name.
Oh.
Okay. If you'll just raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Marie Diamond Johnson.
I, Marie Diamond Johnson.
Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Obey and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you.
That's a test.
Boy! It's a tough one.
Okay, my turn. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Roy Frank Hatt. Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the office duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you.
That's harder than the election, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what.
No.
Yeah, there's some tongue twisters in there.
Now we have the election appointment of board president and vice president. I guess nominations are in order for...
I would like to nominate Laurel Johansson as the board president once again and continue on what you've been doing. I think you've been doing a great job, and I don't see any reason to change the state here.
My pleasure.
Can you hear the train?
Are there any other?
Well, you know what that means if you don't want to change the stationery.
That's
well,
true.
Pay us some money.
No,
you got changed.
Okay. If that's your reasoning.
Okay, do we do the vice president as well?
Before we make a nomination, please.
Oh.
President.
Okay.
She's elected by acclamation.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I appreciate that confidence. Thank you.
I would nominate Roy Hatt as vice president.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I didn't get another. I'm sorry. Anybody have any other? Okay, well, that's done. Muddled through that. Sorry.
We got to save money every chance we get.
Okay, we have the consent and we have the warrants, the minutes, and the monthly financial report for December. Are there any questions that haven't been set up?
I had my questions answered. I move that we accept them as they were presented to
us. I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have personnel action.
The next three items I can okay. Take along the gap. I have one name that needs to be approved, and that is Linda Wilberg. She serves as a special education instruction and special ed instructional assistant. This is with a special needs student. I sent this to you with the board bulletin with an explanation of the students that we're working with at Emory High School. And in order to meet our legal obligations, we need to provide that service. So I would recommend that you approve Linda Wilberg.
I have a question. Are these students juniors, seniors, just coming in, just going out?
Actually, I was hoping John. Oh, there's John. He just came in back. Juniors.
Juniors.
Junior students who just came in. We're finding more and more of these kind of situations. We, as a matter of fact, are discussing a couple today that we have. So this comes from self-contained special ed units and behavioral units, and we're having more and more need for to meet that obligation, so we may have even more in the future, but it is special education program funding. So,
well, I would make a motion that we accept Linda Wilberg in this position.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, item number 6 is the annual junior high honor choir trip. This year, we have, trying to remember what I sent to you here, we have 5 students from Canyon View Junior High and 9 students from Santa Fe Junior High who will be traveling to Jordan High School January 26th to 27th. They've done this each year, but it does require board approval because it is an overnight trip. And right now, they have, I think, 5 chaperones.
I've gone to those groups before, and it's wonderful, and I would like to make a motion that we approve that.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And also the approval of the combined junior high Valentine's Day dance. This is something the board has approved each year. I'm going to recommend tonight that the board approve it ongoing unless there are concerns that come up each year. If there are concerns, then we could bring it to the board every year. Otherwise, I'm recommending that you just approve it as an ongoing activity.
I would so move that we do that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, well, let Jared take the
next. Yeah, but you can explain that to us.
What's the date on that
date? That's a good question. No, it isn't 14. I think we tried to pin that down. I think it's the Friday before, which is the 9th. But Patsy, I'm not really sure if they settled on that date or whether they're going to do it on Saturday. We're assuming it'll be Friday because the Valentine's is on a weeknight. So. But if you're going to print that in the paper, you may want to call Larry Davis and confirm the date or Garth Johnson.
Go ahead with the other 2 items.
Number 8 is approval of benefits consultant, and I believe we put in your packet some information of a group called Intermountain Financial Benefit, and the benefits committee has been meeting since before I got the district. I think this started probably back in August or September. Superintendent, you
the discussion of the controls. You know, well, it's been discussed for about 2 years.
Okay.
About the beginning of the school year.
But the committee has narrowed the group down to two finalists. This was something that was put out for bid, and the two finalists came and interviewed with the committee, and then Ralph and myself also went up and visited both of them in Salt Lake at their offices. And after that, we met as a committee and discussed the two finalists, and that committee is recommending that the board would approve hiring on contract Intermount Financial Benefits. Now, what that would involve is a 3-year commitment, and their rate is $30,000 a year. And I guess instead of trying to explain it, what questions would you have as far as the service that they would be giving the school district?
How is it different than what we've had in the past?
We have not had insurance benefit consultants.
This is one of the problems we have is that we really don't have the expertise to deal with the growing complexities of the benefits and the costs of them and what's available, and I'll let Jared go from there.
Yeah.
We really have a need to have consultants that can help us because we're
there's a lot of really, services really that they would provide the district. One of the most important is that they will come down at our request any time to open enrollment for benefit changes, that type of thing, and also to provide education to our employees. And they've even committed to go school to school as needed to educate our employees on benefit changes or updates. And I think that will be a tremendous help. We're also dealing with some issues right now, the OPEB issues, our health school. You know, we have growing retiree rates. We have all sorts of things, and you know, they provide a consulting service. They provide analysis. They'll give us one of the things that I think will be useful. They'll give us a sheet for each employee that shows not just what they're being paid in salary, but also what they're being paid in benefits and the total amount of their compensation. Things like that to help educate. So.
I have a couple of questions. One is. So it's $30,000 fee, and then it's got monthly fee of $2,500. Is that the same?
It's just broken down
okay.
to monthly.
Okay, and then this hourly rate. They provide the service, and then we give them more money as they come down. Is that, am I wrong there?
What that is Ross had included in the request for proposal that a group, if we ask them to do something outside of the scope, of work that was outlined in the request for proposal, if they would be willing to do that for an additional fee. So that would only be if we wanted them to do something out of the ordinary.
So coming down and meeting with employees and to go to school.
That's
and
all
students.
Included.
Okay.
That's all
included.
I
had a concern about that. So.
And I think one of the bigger benefits is the fact that they can advise us on how to on different insurance packages, programs, companies to help us to evaluate what's out there and how we can possibly save money and also provide the best benefits we can.
Yeah, they also have negotiation ability as far as negotiating year-to-year premiums. While we're in the pool, that wouldn't be, you know, a big deal because the rates are set by the pool, but they do have that ability. They also, you know, one of the things we're discussing in the insurance committee right now is, you know, adding on some other options for our employees under the same plan that we are right now, you know, and they can help us understand those options and get information out to our employees if the committee were to recommend go ahead with that.
Any other questions on that?
This is for a 2-year contract. Was that three?
A 3-year.
Yeah. I can't remember.
And that's based on the request for proposal that was sent out.
I think if I might make a comment, I think one thing that it will really be beneficial to is your time and Jackie's time, that is spent answering important questions. That's something this service provides, is a place for people to go to. And I don't know if you noticed who the people are, but they're people that I think that our people would be comfortable with. They're people from our area.
Local roots.
I think that people coming from Green River, they'll be happy to call in the versus anyone they don't know.
And that was one of the big factors.
It was for me because it's something that I think people will be comfortable doing versus some big city name that they don't know.
You probably, Kirk Olson's son, George Olson's grandson, two of his grandsons, actually, one of the Elk.
Yeah.
Grandnephew, I guess. They're local, have local ties to Emory County, and I think we're really be interested in helping us.
So will they give an 800 number or something you can call if you have questions, and unlimited access by the employees that they can call?
They'll have a customer service number, and they actually have two people with their group who are dedicated to just customer service. Okay. And so what would happen generally is if we have a question, or if an employee is having an issue with a medical claim or whatever, we probably ask them to call Jackie or myself first in case it's something, basic that we can resolve here. But if it's something complicated that needs, discussions between the medical provider, something that's a little more complicated, we'll call them and they'll take care of it start to finish.
So that would mean they wouldn't contact PEHP, for instance. They would go directly to this, or just different?
Our employees?
Yeah.
Our employees would contact PEHP once. If it doesn't get resolved with that one phone call, then we contact the consultant and they take care of it. They have strong contacts with all of the health providers, dental providers, and other benefit providers. So.
It'll be really interesting to see how it works out long term. If we look at the numbers, the potential is there for even savings beyond their fees. It will be really interesting to see how it comes out.
Well, and that's something we can look at in 3 years and see, or even a year, and see how it's helped.
One of the important things about Intermountain Financial is they were very open with us about their service and about their fees. One thing we found out is many of these benefits consultants will negotiate a fee, and some of them admittedly were lower than the $30,000 for Intermountain Financial, but they'll charge a fee. But then if they convince us to go with a different health provider or something like that, they get money for that, and they don't really disclose that to us. But Intermountain Financial is very open about that, and they even said, if in the future the district were to decide to go with another medical provider or something where they were going to get a fee or money for that, they would disclose that to us before so that we make the decision knowing if they're going to be getting something from that. And that also that they would consider negotiating, offsetting our fee based on the amount they would get. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were very open with that, and I was impressed.
I would move that we accept them on this 3 years.
Second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, item number 9 is we have an OPEB committee that's meeting right now fairly regularly to discuss our early retirement, as all of you know, I'm sure. And one of the things that, in particular, Jackie and I are recognizing as we head into this is that no matter what decision we make, we need to make sure that from an accounting standpoint, we're doing things the correct way. Because the whole reason we're addressing our early retirement is because of some new accounting rules. And if you look at one of these accounting rules, it's a book about this thick. It's not easy reading, and Jackie, myself, and the superintendent, we can look through it and get our best idea, but sometimes it's hard to understand the real details of what they're saying. And so Jackie and I have discussed, and we brought this to our last OPEB meeting, and this is a recommendation from the OPEB committee. There is a auditor / accountant named Ray Bartholomew who comes highly recommended from Alpine School District. He audits their financials every year. Who's an expert in OPEB from an accounting standpoint. And what we are requesting from the board is to be able to hire him essentially on an hourly basis, to be able to contact him by phone or by email, however we need, to ask him questions. You know, if we decide to go this way, we want to ask him, what are the accounting implications? How do we need to do this so that we're doing it the correct way? Just because we need to be sure about this, you know. It's something that's going to involve, you know, our OPEB decision is going to involve money, and this would be a small investment to make sure that we're doing it correctly. The information I gave you is his hourly rate is $180 an hour. He is on the, I don't know what's it called, board of directors, some type of overseeing committee for the Utah Free UASBO, the School Business Officials Organization, and he does a lot of training for schools and school business officials. And in his conversations with me, you know, he said if we have just small questions that, you know, don't take a lot of time, he's probably not going to charge us for that. But I feel if we're hiring him for a formal service, we need to pay him for that. And so the rate would be $180 an hour. I put in my information that I would estimate 5 to 10 hours, and it's really a guess. I mean, I don't know how much we're going to need him, but I would say that's on the high end. And, you know, I did that so that hopefully we don't spend any more than that if it's approved. But it could be as low as just an hour or two if we decide on something to get his advice for the accounting and then go with it. So, we're thinking that the board consider that for approval.
Any questions on that?
No, I'll move. At least make that appointment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I think that will be a great help to get us through the decisions that we have to make there. We will go to the consideration of lane change. Doug Johnson and Wayne Roberts are here for some information to us.
Oh, we're going to use technology.
Of course.
Marie, what school is this? While they're getting ready, Marie, what school is this?
So we are at $25.07 per hour. Our request is simply to move us to lane 20, step number 4. It kind of puts us in the middle of a lane, but by going into the middle of the lane, there's a couple things. First off, that makes us, we're not taking the cutting pay to move lanes. We would be getting a 35 cents per hour raise if we move to this lane and this step. And then by moving to this step, and in the middle, that would allow us essentially 4 more steps through our career as we work with the school. Our reasoning behind this, as I said, along with some numbers that we're going to show you later as far as other technicians around the state, around the county, is we deal with technology. And if you guys are familiar enough with technology, you can know that it changes. And especially computer technology, hardware, software, applications change quite rapidly. And we're required, obviously, to learn this new information, this new hardware, software, as it comes out, because a lot of times we're installing it for teachers, we're installing it for the students to use. Our required job responsibilities, we actually pulled our current job responsibilities, and these were written as of 1991. As we go through, there's just a few things I'd kind of like to highlight. I don't need the lights, I just need the sign. The one I want. Okay, if you look under example of duties on the first page, second paragraph, talks about maintaining audio-visual equipment such as projectors, recorders, phonographs, televisions, radios, amplifiers, VCRs, copy machines.
You probably could add that on.
Yeah, I see
it.
Okay. Paragraph after that, maintaining two-way radio repeater station and two-way radios, doing FCC licensing, school bus radios, handheld radios. Okay, I've worked here 10 years, I'm sorry, but I don't remember doing any of that. It's been my job description.
We're paying you too much.
Oh, I am. A paragraph after that talks about computers, maintaining Handy, IBM, Macintosh, mainframes. We've gone beyond the mainframe area. We are doing local file servers at this point. But essentially, we're doing a lot of that. That's what we do for the most part. If you turn to the second page of this, this is getting into our qualifications, our skill level, the skill set that we are required to have. Under number 2, required knowledge and skills. Considerable knowledge and maintenance procedures on complicated electronic and computer equipment and systems. Yes, we do that. But if you read down through there, the third line after that first semicolon, some knowledge of methods, materials, and equipment used in general custodial work, knowledge of operation and minor maintenance and repair of plumbing fixtures. Again, I'm sorry, but And then one more in this last paragraph, one of the items was ability to operate ground equipment and power tools.
I do enjoy power tools, and I do
there
them on occasion.
There you go. Lord help.
On occasion, use a drill, but for the most part, we feel that our job function, our job description is a little outdated. Okay, so based on that, if you look at special qualifications number 3, all of us are Nobel CME certified. We do hit those qualifications. Okay, so that's a required responsibility we feel they have to do a job function. Third bullet, increased number of computers. Every year, we replace certain computers in the district. Every year, we don't take every single computer out and just get rid of it. A lot of those computers are repurposed. A lot of them are repurposed, and even older computers are thrown out. But a lot of times, there are teachers who have special needs for certain projects they're doing, where we're starting to do mini labs in classrooms with computers. As more testing, a lot of our benchmark testing and just state testing is starting to go to an online format. And as that goes to an online format, as more tests are required to be on computers, the schools are just going to have more computers for doing that. We only see the increase in the computers that we're servicing now, and in the future, that's going to go up. Okay, we have some technology and maintenance requirements beyond computers.
Well,
what we did is we had everything summarized here and then split it out. And unfortunately, sticking with the summary, we didn't have that slide. The additions beyond computer maintenance, these were called SIS, the information system. Basically, it's a database. That database contains student information, contact information, lunch account, absence parties, grades, transcripts, basically any data you want on a student is now on the computer, and we are in charge of maintaining that. And if there is a problem with that system, we hear about it, and we hear about it quickly, because essentially that's what's in their schools. As far as their daily operations. We have a fiscal system is online now, purchase orders, invoices, account information is all on the computer. Again, that's falling under our responsibility to maintain that facility. Each school has a school accounting system where they keep track of their local accounts. Again, it's on the computer. And we help maintain that system. Student and financial reporting, again, getting reports out of that SIS database for people, getting the information out for in a usable format. That's the requirement that we provide, or the service we provide. And obviously, as the software, as the hardware changes, as teachers get new computers, new programs, we're the ones that ask the questions.
I'm just a little thing. And it seems like every time we change to a system like SIS system, or we add the fiscal system, we add the school accounting system, we add those, and that just, we take care of it. We don't mind even doing it, but we just keep adding that too, and to me it's amazing just to see the difference in 10 years of what we used to have to do compared to what we have to do now.
Okay, right now we currently service a little over 1,000 computers throughout the district. That's roughly about 330 computers per technician. I found a survey out there looking, some of you I talked to, talked to some of the principals, what would the information you guys might want from us as far as in wanting to know about this type of decision would be, how we compare district-wise, just in, within district and education. According to this International Data Group, schools average one computer technician for every 500 students. Obviously, in business, I think it's 1 in 50. Currently, we are at a technician for every 800 students. Roughly, we have roughly about 24 minutes here. Okay? And as Wayne stated before, the number of computers we're responsible for each year, you keep rising. Okay, the main thing that we're running into the last few years is, again, we're adding systems. Okay, as of right now, Canyon U, I think we currently have a projector system in for every staff member. Green River is going to have a projector system for every faculty member. Okay, so we're responsible for installing it, maintaining it, we're going to have bulbs and all that stuff. Steering systems, as you probably already know, and installed it for quite some time. It's quite a big resource for Willie to take care of the high school. And now both junior highs, Santa Fe is installing theirs, and Canyon U is up and running. And I also installed one at Green River High School. So, we're installing those and running those. The heating systems is another one. With Leroy, we're updating our heating systems out. And now they're going to be controlling over the web. We have a web access, and so we have to hook up the heating systems to make sure everybody can get on the web, make sure the connection works, make sure we can control the heat, all those systems. Okay? Each of those, and that's the thing we've been installing in the last 2 years, is added quite a bit to our job function. Okay? So what we did is a comparison, and I'll admit it was really hard to do this, because throughout the state, a lot of people handle tests a whole different way. I mean, we have there's a lot of them that have a teacher in the classroom maintaining a server just for that classroom. A lot of the districts have big districts, they may have five people or, you know, multiple people hired just to run their SIS system. So what I did is before Ross left, he sent out just a broadcast. Hey, how much are you paying for your test? And this isn't just basic text. When they sent us this, just even all this data, they sent me one as, and me and Wayne still were more of like a database manager, kind of the person that manages, not just the person that just does the computer maintenance, okay? The highest we found was South San Pete, makes $37.56 an hour. And what's amazing to me is he's only on a 225-day contract. The state of Utah, I just looked up, they actually have a Tech 3. Their Tech 2 is probably a little closer to what we do. And they are paying their Tech 2 $33.35 an hour. We did the service center, and as you know, they just hired a Tech 3 and take your salary. Because it wouldn't nearly look as good as on our draft as Troy Eisen's salary. Okay? What we do, I think, you know, we laugh about that, but you look at the people in those positions, and I think we're just as educated, just as professional, and just as much. So we put it in there. The next one I have is San Juan School District. They are actually just did a salary comparison anyway, and their upper level tech is making $33 to $43 an hour. The Carbon School District is 2908, and I actually got that number from San Juan School District's documentation I found that they committed to it. Cass School District was $29. North San Pete was $27.79. I get to throw in Emory County, and Marie will know this. Redwood doesn't open it out, probably.
No, I don't know that.
But it's pretty comparable to us, but they do have a better benefit package than us. They don't have deductibles on their insurance. Here's where we sit, currently, $25.77. We have Ogden School District, which is $23.76, and that is actually for their system engineer, but that's what he does, is system engineer.
and I have North Summit, which makes 2303, and this is one of those half a day and a half a day teacher. Just so I'm comparing. Just so you know, there is a bunch of school districts that when I called their tech specifically and asked them about salaries and how they handle computers and work orders and that kind of stuff, and there was a lot of them was interested in the results of a survey kind of like this, and there was a lot of them that are actually creating a tech salary scale, because as you know, we have a certified salary scale, which means they have to be certified, they're educated. If they get more education, they can move lanes. Where we're in a classified, and we can get as educated as we want, and we don't have those options. So there's been a couple of them that traded tech lanes, actually tech salary schedules, just for the technicians. So this is just the timeline of the proposed and current. Like Wayne said, we basically just wanted to do a lane shift so we don't take a salary cut, which is a 35-cent raise. And what that would do is just reward us and move us up towards those other people in gradual over those four steps. So we broke that out by year, going out to 2030. We'd be more comparable with the people making like $29. So it kind of topped out. Anyway, so that's kind of where we'd be. Okay, in summary, the best part, right? First of all, we want you guys to know we really enjoy working for the school district. I love working with the kids. I like helping them with web pages. Both of us care about kids. That's why we're here. We also like working with John. John's a great resource. He really, just like he's scheduling me for, I said, you know, I'd like some Windows Server 2003 training. And he's been wonderful. He got on there, he found the training, he scheduled it for us. Anything we ask for, he gives us. And so, we really like the working relationship we have with him and our jobs. This is something I'm particularly proud of, is I feel like we have a high satisfaction rate with our school. It seems like you probably don't hear about us, which is hopefully good, because you only hear people when they're mad. But I think if you called our schools and asked just even the little things, like, do we help them with school finance, which we could just blow off, you know, that we don't. We jump in there, we help the secretaries with the school finances, or we do. So I think we have a high satisfaction rate with our schools.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. We work year-round until the computer system's up and running throughout the school. We usually don't have any outages, and if they are, they're usually short. Hopefully, anyway. And this takes a lot of extra time, especially at the beginning of the year. It's really, in fact, I want to tell each one of you, it's wonderful you give us a rotation schedule. The best thing that's happened since I've been here for 13 years. So that's really nice, because then we know how many computers we're getting, where we have to install them, and so that's been really nice to kind of cut that time frame down, because we used to get the computers the 1st of August, and we had to have them installed and ready by the end of August, and we're putting in huge amounts of extra time to do that. So we feel our job requirements keep changing. I think we kind of showed that in between. We kind of glossed over that in the sense of all of the information we're starting to give the public, just like access the parents' access to the teacher's grades. I mean, that's a little thing that's on our side. And so we feel like that our job requirements, not only did our job requirements change, but we have to have the education level and stuff to be able to do that. Okay? The skill level, and that's where we talked about the skill level required to do our job is increasing. Our computer demands keep growing, and the information requested from our database keeps growing. And I think what's nice, I guess, for the district, at least I feel, and I'm sure Wayne does too, is not only do we give the district education in computers, but I think it benefits all of our schools, students, and faculty, our education, just like in business. I mean, both me and Wayne both went, got our degrees, and so we have computer degrees with business minors, and so we're able to help with school finance and stuff like that.
through our education level compared to if you didn't have that number. Is there any questions? Wow, not one?
Yeah, copies of your...
We do.
So they didn't know if you want me to use
it.
I think what they're trying to do is just get out of that job description and plumbing.
I don't blame them.
Do you have your FCC general radio telephone technician
Willie does. That's Willie.
Mm-hmm.
That job description fits him. He still does all that.
Yeah, no. That job description was written and he only had one person.
There he is.
And then Larry was brought on, and then since then, that has all changed. The only thing that hasn't changed is there's been no new job description.
I think what it comes down to is it's almost as if we don't have an opportunity as classified to be rewarded for getting the education and the professionalism and doing that stuff that actually fits our job description. We have to have it to do it. I mean, it's kind of unique in the sense of doing that. And we thought of how the best way to propose it, try to create some type of technology, salary scale and that math, and we just figured if we moved to that lane, that'd be more than enough compensation to give us this, to make us happy. More than happy.
Well, thank
no
you.
Questions?
Thank you for that presentation. Definitely no. Something we need to look at, and if you'll be patient, we will do that. And appreciate that information. Very well done. We will go ahead and go to the principal's report with Brian Dodd. Thank you for letting us come.
Well, welcome. Appreciate you all taking the time and making the drive, some longer than others, to get here. I know the best presentation is the shortest one by the principal, so we'll just be concise and to the point. If you have questions, just I'll be happy to elaborate. Really excited about the great things that are happening at Farragut Elementary. We spent some time this summer and really worked with the faculty to identify some problem areas and areas of concern. And this year we were able to really take some steps, I think, to make some improvements to really address those concerns. And it's really made for a real exciting year for us so far this year. First step we did is we took a look at our mission statement and we renamed it and revised it. And so now it's called the RAMS Charge, and it stated, as we commit to being responsible, hardworking, and caring, united in creating a safe and positive learning environment. And we hold that charge not just as, we hold all the students and the faculty and staff accountable to holding up those standards. And we have it posted in every classroom, in the gym, in the lunchroom, so that throughout the day the kids are reminded of what our expectation is from them and what they can expect from us. That the teachers, they can expect to be respected and treated in a caring way, but then when we're dealing with bullying issues, we can ask the students, was that a caring? Is that showing personal responsibility? And it's given us really a unified language to be discussing whether we're dealing with kindergartners up to sixth graders. The teachers spent a lot of time this year really going through what each of those words mean. And each morning we begin the day by having one of our student council members start out on our microphone. They give a welcome. We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. We then sing the national anthem and then stand at the school and recite the RAMS Charge. It gets us off on the right foot, all together, and just really it helps us to share our vision. The next step from creating our mission statement is to then go through and really look at our school-wide policies, our school-wide procedures, and make sure that in the most critical areas that we have consistent discipline procedures, consistent expectations in the classroom, so that when the students went to the restroom or they're in their lunchroom, there's the same set of rules. And we posted those in the restrooms. If you use the ones in the main hall, you'll see that the rules are pretty simple. It's be quick, be quiet, and be clean. And so we tried to make them nice and easy in the lunchroom. It's eat first, talk second, use an inside voice, and clean up after yourself. So they're real, and those are also posted in the lunchroom. Just as we go through, every student can tell you, this is how we walk down the hall. This is how we handle ourselves at Bryan Elementary School. And it's really brought us all together, I think, as a faculty, and really helped us to have more of a shared vision and a better understanding of what we expect. Another thing we try to do is it's so easy to just focus on the negative behaviors and to be writing the students because they're just whatever mannerisms or whatever's going on. And so we developed a 200 club for our school, and each teacher, each staff member has a stack of blue slips, and if they just notice a student doing something that's positive, then they can fill out a blue slip for them. And at about 10 minutes before the end of school, about 10 to 3, we'll invite them to come to the 200 club. They trade their blue slips in for a number. They draw a number out of a bin, and we put their names on their board. When there's 10 names in a row, either vertical or horizontal, then those 10 students, or however many sets of 10 are completed that day, all receive a little prize, a little recognition to say, hey, thanks for doing a good job. We then wipe down the board, and we start fresh the next day with new kids, or with the new blue slips. So not everybody gets recognized for whatever they do. Not everyone gets an award, and it's not always that one rotten kid that had a great day, so they earned a recognition, and they are the one that gets drawn out of the hat and wins a bike. This way, the prizes get spread apart to everybody. Even those kids that maybe they do have more bad days than good, but it helps us to really look for the positive in each of those kids. From there, we decided we were really trying to build a professional learning community here at our school. There's a lot of new research about that, and one of the things as I studied up on that, I found that we were really missing is we just didn't have a whole lot of time for our teachers and our aides to communicate. As a Title I school, we have five aides that are Title I aides. We have two resource aides, and they'll come in and work in the classroom and work with specific students, and then they'll leave. But there was really no point where the teacher could sit down with the aide and they could exchange notes. This is who we're working. I know who I'm supposed to work with, but the teacher wasn't able to say, well, what are you doing with them? Or how are they doing? Do they need more help? Are they making progress? And so we put together a student progress staffing meeting. And each month, we hire a sub for 2 days. And she's a floating sub. So today was our first day of these meetings, and that extremely long days for three of us. For me, for our Title I coordinator, Stephanie Roper, and our special education teacher, Loretta, who is back to work as of Monday, which is a wonderful, wonderful return. The three of us sit, and for about an hour per teacher, we discuss the particular needs of these students. We're able to take a look at test scores. When they do the DIBELS testing, their progress monitoring, we're able to look at them and say, okay, last month this is where this student was. This month this is where they are. And we also invite the aides that work in the classroom to come in for that particular teacher, and they're able to exchange notes. Gosh, today we've determined that there are several of these students that are receiving intervention, that they are no longer at risk. We're going to exit them out of the program, and we're going to bring in new students. And it's really just opened up the communications that teachers feel really on board and supported, because they're actually able to discuss. Today we didn't just focus on the needy students who are deficient. We took a look at some of the students in kindergarten who their scores are off the charts. What are we doing to stimulate and to help our achieving students who might be able to qualify for a gifted and talented program if that were in place? But how are we servicing the gifted as well as those that are struggling? And so it's really given us just a chance to all get on the same page, allow the communication of the principal. I know what's happening in that classroom. I know what's happening with each of those students. When the time that we spend in doing DIBELS testing that we do with Lifespan and in the EDGE test, we're able to sit down with those test scores and say, okay, now, here's the data, what are we doing about it? Okay, this is the goal we set, how are we coming along? And it's been fantastic. It is time consuming, but for the cost of the substitute for 2 days to work with each teacher, it is so rare to have a teacher say thank you at the end of a meeting. They go longer than 5 minutes. With faculty meeting run short and get thank yous, but these are the majority of them, if the teachers are walking out, thanks. This is wonderful, we appreciate it. Those are smaller classes, might only have about a 45-minute time period with us, but we're able to work through that. And I think that, to me, has been a real morale booster and a real support. It's really just helped, again, tighten us around as a faculty. And when you talk about No Child Left Behind, this is taking a look at each individual student, each individual need, how are they progressing, and what do we need to do that's better, how do we modify. Another thing, and while you're here, I invite you to walk through our hall, stop in our lunchroom. In our lunchroom last spring, we had a Name the Lunchroom contest, and we put purchased vinyl lettering, so we put the name up in there to the Rocky Range Cafe. Rocky Range Cafeteria? Rocky Range Cafeteria. Cafe just did not know that. And in between the lettering, we had a mural painted of a ram, and it's beautiful. We had a local artist from our community that was willing to do that. We talked to Craig Nelson about it, taking the opportunity, and he just laughed at us because we wanted him to do it during farming season. There's not an off season, I guess, for farming unless you really want it about now. And anyway, so we had a local artist that came in. She did a beautiful job, and invited to take a look. As I walk through the halls, I kind of feel like the halls are just really deficient right now. Yesterday was our geography bee, and so for the last 3 months, or well, 2 months, we've had question strips all over the halls with just different geography questions. We're hoping to leave those up today. The message didn't get to everybody, so some very helpful person cleaned our walls today after lunch and before the end of school. I don't know who it was. That was supposed to be done tomorrow, but walk through. There is some work displayed by some of the classrooms, but I'm really thrilled with our school. I feel like there's a real positive learning environment. Our custodial staff does a great job. Our lunch ladies provide a great service. They work hard. We have a high participation rate in our lunch program, and just all around it. With our aides, our teachers, everyone just seems to really be working together to make the education that's happening here at Fenn Elementary just a wonderful experience. I did that in under 10 minutes. So. Anyway, that's all I have for you. I'll walk you around if you want to or whatever you want to do, but thank you for being here tonight. Enjoy a treat, a drink, or whatever. We'll get on to the rest of this. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I think that's got to be captured through the school, and I know the atmosphere here is great. You have a great staff, and we appreciate the things that you do for students. You can tell that is the bottom line. You want to make your students better and to make the learning environment better. I'm really impressed with this RAMS charge. That's just a great idea.
It's interesting because it's word by word. We took the old one and just stripped it down, and every word was debated, but with the right facilitator. It was 1 week after I'd had my tonsils removed, so I was not the right facilitator. We hired in Amy Rasmussen from Warrensville, and within two and a half hours, it was in its completed state. And she did show us the 200 Club idea. Our 200 Club board is right across,
we'll have to look at that.
Right out in, if you take a right, you're in the lunchroom. On the left, you're at the 200 Club. And we're looking at a lot of winners tomorrow because there's a lot of names on the board and very few numbers to draw. So.
Well, we'll expect a tour afterwards.
Okay.
I'm impressed that every year you don't have to learn new rules from a new teacher. They're pretty much all the same. How great that is. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
We'll expect a tour afterwards. Thanks. Okay, Denise. You're on. Good to hear from you. Well, I'm excited to be here. I was so tickled when Jared came and asked me to do a presentation. I haven't been before you guys for a good long time.
So, we don't bite.
I know. Some of us don't. I do have a couple extra copies if anybody would like one. Jared is going to be my driver.
Is he sober?
Non-food items, improved quality and variety of food, and less time spent with vendors. Additional benefit, we found that sharing of expertise and solving problems together has been one of our greatest resources. I found that having fewer delivery trucks to unload has been a reduction in warehouse costs. One way that Emory benefits is by Alpine being large enough to have a bidding department that can handle the bid and make sure that it's legal and professional. The 12-member districts each have one representative on a board, and we test the food. Before the food is shown to us, we have complete information. Nutrient analysis, pricing, and serving size. The products are scored based on the criteria of how it will fit into our menu and our budgets as well. But the real test of food quality is when we have the students there. As a group, we're willing to work to have a consensus on the products we use. We don't want to eliminate our individuality, but we do want to be committed to products to help with our bidding process. When there is large variation on a product, we discuss pros and cons, and if it's necessary, we can rescore the item. Foods that pass the board with a score of 3 or higher go to the food fair. Foods that pass the food fair are added to our approved list of foods for the bid. We have a food fair every March. Student representatives from each district are brought together to sample and score the items that the board has approved during the preceding year.
Now, this is a job you'd want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sample the food.
We have an orientation for the students when they come in. We give them clipboards, score sheets, and t-shirts. This is a sample of our score sheet. It's very simple. They have a smiley face or a frowny face. If they like it, they mark the smiley face, and if they dislike it, they mark the frowny face. Down below is an adult ballot because we're basically really interested in what students like. Here we are setting up just before the kids will start to come. We try to make it bright and festive so that they really enjoy themselves while they're there. They take this job very, very seriously. They study everything and make sure that they're doing it properly. The food fair is probably one of the best public relations pieces that the district gets all year. You may have even caught it on the news. And finally, an update on Emory Food Service. Currently, we have 20 employees
11 years ago, we had 45, and we used substitutes. Currently, the ladies manage, once in a while, we have to have a sub, but pretty much, they just manage to shift their hours and maintain it on their own. Collectively, we have 297 years of experience serving students. All employees are certified by a national program, which means they have to update their education every 3 years. They have to send in 30 to 90 hours worth of education in order to maintain that. They hold a first state certificate. We see 1,500 lunches and 600 breakfasts every day. And Amory High is our second largest breakfast school. We realize that we won't be able to please everyone every day, so we do our best. All menus are analyzed to meet federal and state regulations. As of December 1st, 06, we said 78% of the free, 77% of the reduced, and 59% of the full-paid students available. And that's my presentation. I think I did it under 5 minutes. And thank you for the opportunity to and for your support. And if you ever have any questions or concerns, please feel free to call me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Denise. That's great. I'm impressed by those numbers. There's a lot of great things happening. That's exciting. To cut it to more than half of your employees and still keep everybody satisfied, that's remarkable. Okay. Thank you. That's fun. That's good to know. Okay, Superintendent Couture.
They've really put the pressure
on
me.
Yeah, let's see, what can you do? Let's see.
3 minutes, huh?
Good in three.
If you'll look at the handout I gave you, we're on general information items. I'll go through it very quickly. USDA convention will start actually tomorrow night, but it's Friday and Saturday. I just remind you that we have breakfast with Carbon Board on Friday morning at 7:30. The restaurant there, and then Jared has been in contact with Zion's Bank, and they will provide us lunch on Friday. There is another lunch in the convention, but it's not as good as you get with Zion's Bank at Grand America. At their expense. And we'll have to let you know where to meet. Normally we've met for that out by the elevator there in the lobby, and then it's gone across the street. USDA Day on the Hill, this is the legislature. If you know, the legislature starts on Monday. And I've already seen a list of well over 100 education bills. It has a loosely folded that's clear full already, and a lot of things that are going on. We've talked about the governor's agenda and USDA and Superintendent Association, but the Day on the Hill is on the 18th. This is for board members, superintendents, business administrators, any who would like to attend. It starts at 10 o'clock. Goes usually until about 1:30. This is the first year in 10 years that I probably won't be able to go because of family issues. But if any of you would like to go, let me know. I'll get more information to you. And it's a good day. It's enjoyable. I'd like to... I don't think I did this in board meeting the last couple. A little over a month ago, we found out that Steve Gordon had been selected as the Utah High School Activity Association 3A Coach of the Year for 2006. And I wanted to recognize that with the board, that Steve Gordon, with our girls' basketball program, was recognized as High School Activity Association 3A Coach of the Year last year. And certainly congratulate him on what he's done there. Like to let you know, and I think I did email this to you, but there was an error in the advertised board meeting schedule that was published in the paper. Sorry, Patsy.
Was it your error?
No, it was a paper's error, but we got corrected.
It probably wasn't mine then.
It was the October meeting in the paper came out as October 7th, which is a Sunday. The meeting's actually on the 30th. It has been corrected, and they're republishing it this week and next week. So just make sure that you're aware if you didn't see the email I sent to you that is on the 3rd and not the 7th of October. I've given you some things to look at for your information. There's a spreadsheet here on fee waivers. This is a list of all of the school districts in the state and the amount of student fees that were waived. If you'll notice, statewide, it's nearly $4 million. Emory School District last year waived $15,653 in secondary student fees. There's a bill every year that gets introduced that would help offset the cost, the loss of fee waivers. Usually it's $500,000 statewide, and you have $4 million that's waived. And so I don't anticipate that even if it passes, that our school district would see too much of that money. It would probably go to districts like Salt Lake and Ogden, where they have a real high poverty level. But it was interesting information, I thought, that you might want to see. I've attached this to... You didn't get in your packet, it's in tonight. A couple of other things, the merger, I talked to you about the merger of the Applied Technology College with CEU, and when higher ed approved the merger, they indicated that if CEU president and the Applied Technology College president could work out a proposed partnership, that they would consider that in lieu of a merger. I gave you a copy of an email that, and it includes a newspaper article that indicated some components of an agreement, a partnership that was worked out between President Thomas at CEU and Miles Brown, the president of our local Applied Technology College, and they felt good about it, thought it was a good working relationship, and even indicated it would even save more money than what had been proposed under a merger. But if you saw, noticed on the news and in the paper yesterday, I think it was just yesterday, I got this information that the Board of Regents voted not to accept this partnership, but to proceed with the merger of CEU and the Applied Technology College. Now, I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have on our programs. I hope it doesn't. I hope they'll continue the way they are. We have several programs that are paid for from the Applied Technology College. Last time I tried to name some of them, I think I missed a couple. Wayne knows of one, because he teaches us. Our building construction program at Emory High School, and of course the networking program, our entire automotive program at Emory High is paid for by the Applied Technology College. Some of our welding, machining, and I'm sure I probably missed them, but there is some concern there, and we'll have to watch and see what that does. But the Board of Regents voted to proceed with the merger rather than this partnership. And so they're trying to work out the details of that. But Applied Technology College in our region will merge with CEU. And to be honest with you, it's really a full circle, because it used to be part of CEU, and it was called the SEATC. And we had a board that consisted of the superintendents that used to... And I don't know if it's going to look the same as it did then, or if it's going to completely change. But hopefully the programs will remain intact. We'll have to see what CEU's board of directors and their president have to say about it. But we certainly can't afford to lose those programs. But I'm not sure we can afford to pay for them fully either if we took them back on. So we'll have to see what happens there. I also included in here an email that I got from the Utah School Board Association on tuition tax credits and vouchers. Every year, except last year, the tuition tax credit was an issue. It's a state month at this point. This year, they're saying the tuition tax credits will not be a big issue, but now it'll be vouchers. And don't ask me the difference, the big difference. Well, the big difference is one's a tax credit, the other is an outright voucher that private school parents could take to a private school and pay for out of tax dollars. And it would be, according to this, they're looking at tying it directly to the cost of private school rather than public school spending. I don't think it can pass, but I've been surprised before. But this is even more dangerous than tuition tax credits when you start talking vouchers. The national discussion in this area is on vouchers, as you're aware. And the whole idea is to divert public tax dollars into private school tuition. But you'll probably hear more about that at the legislature as time goes on. So. And just a quick report on the swimming pool agreement. I still have no new information to give you. Present time after our last meeting in Green River, I'm still waiting for the county commission to come come with a draft agreement to look at. They did schedule some tours, a committee tour of various swimming pools to walk that front, but it was the day we had the big snowstorm and up there, not down here. And they canceled that and are rescheduling. J.J. Grant, the member, is on that committee, and he'll be looking at those to make sure that they are regulation size for competition and those kind of things. But I don't have any additional information on that for this meeting. That's all I have.
Okay.
Was that entertaining?
That was great. Thank you. Appreciate that information. Okay, Jared, next.
I'll try to go under three.
Under three?
One of the things I wanted to make sure you got updated on was the construction down in Green River. And I called Leroy today so he could let me know how it was going. So I could tell you that he just volunteered to come and tell you himself. So.
Well, no, he said Leroy would be under three. How about him?
That doesn't count towards my three.
I'll be under three, too.
Yeah. Now that we're up out of the ground, we're starting to see some progress on the building because it's going up in the air. And right now we have two of the long walls up at 20 feet. Tomorrow will be at 24 feet. Friday will be at top on them walls. Then we'll start the interior walls, cleaning blocks around your showers and things like that. It's going up fast. It's going to slow down a little bit now because of colder weather. I'm requiring that they build tents and heat it.
I'm predicting 4 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow night and Friday.
Well,
I just remember just recently a flood down there.
It's like the same weather pattern too, doesn't it?
One little tip of snow down there is all. Even though we even had it in Andy County, it's 4 inches one time. We had nothing down there that's even slowed down as far as the work. Except for Christmas holidays and New Year's. And that put out a little binder. Last season I reported on our air conditioning situation. I've been in contact with the mechanical engineer up north and mechanical contractor. And we have the everything lined up to do that. And it looks like to me that this time that the cost is just going to be a wash between that and the money that we saved on the piping. So, no additional cost above the negotiated contract, we'll be able to have air conditioning in the gym.
If we decide
to go that way. We're preparing for that. I mean, when it gets a little bit closer, we'll decide for sure if we want the air conditioning. There could be changes, there could be some changes in what we may have to do down there. Change orders or something like that, but I can't foresee any of that coming up. We've been real fortunate. The company they have working for us down there, they're a good company. And the subcontractors have been real good. I spend a lot of time in Green River the last while. I've been spending 2, 3, and sometimes 4 days a week down there, keeping an eye on the contractors and things like that. But they are progressing real fast now. You'll see the schedule right now. We're talking to the superintendent down there. He's kind of committed to try to get it completed by the 15th of April, but I can't see anything.
Holy cow.
I don't think that he'll ever make it by that time. I can see some problems coming up in a couple of areas.
He must be getting lonely living down there.
Yeah, well, wants to go home. But anyway, that's kind of the report on that.
Appreciate that. Appreciate your being there and doing a lot of the work down there. Having somebody that
we like that.
Yeah.
Casey's your sister.
Some of the items. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so we can.
Some of the items that needs covering that we took some color samples down from. It's things that have to be ordered out. It's scheduled for down in Odelay's because they're ordered items.
Yeah.
So we had to have some colors on, like, the lockers and
basketball pads behind the basket.
Oh, good.
And bleachers and things like that. We had to have pillar boards. Make sure in time schedule we could fit it into the time schedule.
What shade of green do you want?
The forest in our gym now is the forest green, so that's what we went with.
Oh, that'll be good. Mm-hmm.
And we kind of told Casey that she was totally in charge of picking colors and her own. So
that's
we didn't have 15 different people trying to pick out colors.
That's true. That's really helpful.
I blame it on.
It's all on your shoulders.
No, I took him in him. I know it.
It's a stamp of approval.
We did eliminate a whole bunch of people involved in it because it can get to be quite a hassle with mm-hmm. colors and things.
It really can.
And things like that. So we want to try to keep it down to the very minimum in which they are. They're working real good with it.
Are there going to be those holes in the floor for volleyball stands?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Now they'll be for cross court and for full court.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. They'll be for both directions.
You can have a tournament.
That way, tournament-wise,
if we have a tournament, you could have
B42.
Yeah. You've
got a lot of games going on.
Yeah. So Doug and Lane will be down there when the plumbing go in. Is that their plan?
That
you'll be there?
That's called
network. Oh, network. I get it. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's exciting. I'm anxious to see it when it happens. Oh, really? You get in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. If you do come down and you have to come out on the side, it is a hard hat area now with the brick layers laying there. There's a possibility of overhead there. And so we have to wear hard hats when we're on the job.
What kind of floor?
Are they green? What color did you take?
What kind of floor, gymnasium floor, will be put in there? I mean, there's lots of different grades. And
well, it'll be similar. It'll be like the one you have in there now. It'll be a maple hardwood floor. Okay, just really quickly, some of the things we're working on in the business department, some of the major projects, and you're aware of most of them, are our OPEB committee. We also have our insurance committee that's been meeting, and then another committee working on some school accounting issues based on some new accounting changes that we have to do between school funds and district funds that are used at school. So we have committees that have been meeting regularly on each of those topics. You know, honestly, a lot of the people on these committees are here today. Carol, Kim, Casey, Doug have put in a lot of hours. Some of you are on those committees, and you know, I've been pleased with the progress we're making on all of those issues. We have to be cautious but proactive at the same time, and I've been pleased with the progress we've made, and hopefully by late spring all of those things will be if not resolved on
the
path. So that's all I have for you.
Thank you. We appreciate those committees. They're invaluable, and we appreciate the time that you put into those and your heart. And your, I think that we really do want the best for the district where those are concerned and for the students. So, are there any other things? Are there any items for executive session? We have some personal items.
Okay. I move we're going to executive session for personal items.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Leroy.
Yeah, I just need him for a minute for you.
Thank you, Paul, for being here.
Yeah, John, thank you.
Oh, no.